John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. I'm afraid to ask this question, but I'm going to. You know, around here, there's several of us that's hard hearing. How many of you would be classified as hard hearing? Yeah. Sometimes I say something and Chris jokes about how many men we got here that's hard hearing. They don't hear what I said. But sometimes you have some that are not hard hearing, they're just not listening. How many of you think that maybe sometimes you just don't listen? Don't see many hands, but let me ask this. How many of you wives think you got husbands that just sometimes don't listen? Oh, yeah, now we get the hands up there. I knew that'd get them up there flying. Okay. But all jokes aside, I've learned as time goes on that the most important part of a conversation is to listen. I used to think when I was young, I talked too much in conversations. But as you get older and hopefully wiser, you need to learn to listen. Someone put it this way, God give you one mouth and two ears. He wants you to use one twice as much as you do the other. And sometimes we don't listen. But you know, sometimes we spend all the time talking to God and we complain that he's not listening to us when we don't listen to him. Sometimes we're just not listening to what he says. And I've had some people say, well, preacher, I've asked God to do this, I've asked God to do that, I've asked God to do this. My question is, are you listening to what God's asking you to do? Or are you just too busy talking? A conversation has to be two ways. I heard something this week on the news and it caught my attention. They did a poll somewhere, and I know they do these polls all the time. I don't have much credit in them, but this one caught my attention. It said 34% of the people said that they were fonder of their pet than they were of their children. 34%. This humanistic philosophy that's being taught, trying to equalize us with animals. Used to be a commercial on TV about forest fires, said the most dangerous animal in the forest is humans. Let me let you know in secret. Humans are not animals.
Amen.
Sometimes some of them act like beasts, but they're not animals. God elevated humans far superior to animals. If the humanistic philosophy can teach in our sources of education and have you believe in evolution, they can also have you believe that you live and you die, and when you die it's over with, then they can take and make you believe that you're on the same level as animals. The difference is that God gave you a living soul. When a person dies, there's one or two places that you will go, heaven or hell. It hasn't changed. Some people would love to take the Bible and take hell out of it, but it's still there. And I was talking in Sunday school this morning. They've been on the quarterback for a pro team, Drew Brees, in Louisiana, New Orleans Saints, that he was promoting the Day of the Bible on October 3rd. And man, they've been giving him all kinds of things because he told them that they need to bring their Bible to school day. And then he got on there. They've called him haters and all this because he supports the Bible. There's a lot of people would love to do away with the Bible. But listen to me very carefully. If you are living a lifestyle, homosexuality, transgender, all these other things that the world's so keen on embracing, you can't ever change God's opinion of that. It's abomination when he said it, when he wrote it, still abomination today.
Amen.
And nothing you're going to do or nothing you're going to say is ever going to change your way. And when you die, you'll have to face God and stand accountable for that. It does no good to just quit listening to the Bible. There was a time in the Bible Belt when people listened to the Word of God and they reacted to the Word of God. There was a time when Israel did. They'd hear the Word of God gladly and respond. Then they got where they would listen to it and not obey it. Here in our Bible Belt, we got where we would listen to it, but yet we wouldn't obey it. Then the next generation that's come, that's the generation we're facing now, we've got a generation that don't want to listen to it, period. Don't want to hear it. Israel got to the same way in which God blinded their eyes where they couldn't hear it. I believe today there is a danger, the greatest danger in the day in which we live is a danger of not being able to hear the Word of God anymore. I'm not talking about just listening. I'm talking about hearing it and hearing in your heart and understanding it and responding to it. Look, if you would, in John chapter 5, begin reading with me. Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath. The Pharisees got all warped out of shape because he healed a man on Sabbath. Forget the fact that he healed this man and this man was alleviated from all the pain and suffering he was doing. You would think that somebody would be glad that was supposed to be religious, but they were just self-righteous. They could care less about humans and human suffering. And so Jesus told them this. When they come, they want to know about Sabbath day in verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hither, and I work." In other words, he related himself to equal to his Father. He was his Father's son. He was the Son of God. Look in verse 18. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him." Not that they wasn't going to kill him. They were going to kill him, but now they want to kill him even more. He said, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, now when he says verily, verily, he wants you to understand he's got a truth that you better listen to. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth him who he will." So he says, not only did Jesus claim to be equal with God, but as God could give life, Jesus could give life. And not only could God give life, but God could take dead and make it live again. And Jesus said and claimed to the Pharisees that not only was he the Son of God, but he could also take dead and make live again. And so the word quickeneth means to be make alive. And then look back in verse 21, last part. "Even so the Son quickeneth," or make alive, "whom he will." In verse 22, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, not only did Jesus claim to be the Son of God and equal with God, but he was also able to give life that only God can give, and he was able to make life out of dead, which only God can do. And now he also says he is judge, that only God would judge, and he would have been given by the Father the judgment. Look on. And by the way, if you're wondering, this idea of doing away with the Bible, you know why the devil wants the Bible done away with? Jesus said, I came not to judge the world, but the word I've spoken, it shall judge you in the last day. And if you get rid of the word of God and you quit listening to the word of God, then you don't know what you're going to be judged by. But the Bible clearly sets out how we will be judged and what we will be judged when we stand before God. And the devil wants to do away with that, because if he keeps you ignorant to that, you'll go through life just like an animal. But when you die, you'll find out there's a great difference between you and an animal. An animal just goes back to the earth, but you'll, in hell, you'll lift your eyes up being in torment, and it'll be too late to do anything about it. That's why the devil hates the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word of God. Look on, verse 23. It says, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father, which hath sent him. Again, he's going to say, verily, verily, because he wants you to hear. Look in verse 24. We're going to spend time 24 on through a couple of verses 28. But notice verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what? Everlasting life, and shall not what? Come into condemnation, but is passed from what? Death unto life. Verily, verily, again we find that. I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now let me stop right here before you get too caught up in this. To do good doesn't mean to have good works. There is none good, no, not one. To do good is to obey what God the Father has commanded you to do. And what he's commanded you to do, and if you're going to do good, you must believe on his Son, Jesus Christ. You must, I believe upon him to be saved. Now look on in verse 30. He says in verse 30, and I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Let's pray, if you would. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us for just a few moments. And Lord, help us if we have ears to hear. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now let me say this. All through the Bible, especially in the New Testament, you'll find this little slogan several times. He that hath ears, let him hear. And God wants us to hear his word. Now, this morning, I want to break this down a couple things to three different parts here in just a moment. But let me say this. Jesus illustrated the difficulty in people hearing. He illustrated it by the parable of the sower. He said what happens is sometimes when the word of God is sowed, it falls on hard ground. In other words, hard hearts. And he said, what happens is, it just falls on a hard place and by the wayside, and it takes no root. Then sometimes it falls on shallow hearts, falls on little places, and something comes and snatches it away before it ever takes root. Then, of course, some falls on thorny ground, where it just choked down by the cares of the world. People so busy in the world, they just don't take time to hear the word of God. Then, of course, he says some has a good heart, a good soul, in which they're able to hear the word of God, and it takes root. Jesus used, and by the way, now listen to me very carefully. One of the most frightening scriptures in the Bible was given by Jesus to me on the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter number 7, Jesus states dogmatically that there is a straight, narrow way that leadeth to life eternal, and a wide, broad road and gate that goes to hell. And he says there are going to be few that's going to find the one going to heaven, and many's going to find the one going to hell. I don't know about you folks, but that's scary. It's scary. Not only is there many that's not going to heed the word, he also said in the same chapter in verse 21 that in that day of judgment, many will say unto him when they stand before him, Lord, Lord, we not prophesy in thy name, cast out devils, do many wonderful works. He'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. He said, not only is many going to die and go to hell and destruction that rejected and chose the wide, broad road, but he said there's going to be another group that's going to think they're going to heaven, and they're going to go to hell too. Many of them. He said, because I never knew them. They claimed to have this relationship, but they had no relationship. Now, look in your Bibles a moment. Let me share with you a couple things real quickly. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 28 and 29, there will be two appointments. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is an appointed man once to what? Die, and after this to what? My friend, you're a fool if you don't prepare for those two appointments. Everybody here is going to die. You say, well, preacher, I don't like to think about dying. Well, I guess everybody's a little scared about dying at times because it's hard to understand what's on the other side. But I got news for you. You're going to die. Somewhere, somehow, everybody here is going to die unless you're living when Jesus comes back. When he comes back, catch away, those who are alive and remain, that's saved, will be caught up, meet them in the air. But if you're not, then everybody here is going to die. I don't like to think about it. I didn't like to think about my dad dying, but he's dead now. There was a time when I didn't think about it. But as he got older, I began to think about it. My mom, she's 83 now. I don't know how long God's going to allow her to be on the earth. But I know this, she's 83 years old. Brother Jim came up 82 years old. Now God might allow him to live to be 100. And he might take them tomorrow. But the both of them's got something in common. They got the same thing in common each of us do, and that is that we are going to die. Amen. And so you better prepare for that appointment. You say, I'm going to live life as long as I can. Nothing wrong with that, but listen. Just face it. One of these days we're going to die, and we don't know when that day's going to be here. Job had a lot to say about it. He said, all we know is there is an appointment, a day appointed for us. And I don't know about you, but I believe this. I believe when you study the book of life, you'll find that from the very beginning, God had everybody wrote in a book. It's not a matter of you getting your name put in there. It's a matter of not having blotted out. But besides that, I also believe this, and you don't have to agree with me, that God has a time appointed for each of us to die. And yet there are some things that we can do to take away days of our lives, and some things we can do to add things of our life. As a matter of fact, God promised children. He said, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this right. He said that was the first commandment with promise, that if you would obey that you would have longer days upon the face of the earth. Amen. Did you know that? You know what he's telling you? He'll add some days to you. What I'm trying to get you to understand is God has appointed day. It's an appointment. And not only that, after you die, your soul will go to heaven or hell. It'll be present with Jesus, or it'll be down in hell. One of the two. Used to, they both went down into the heart of the earth. One was in Abraham's bosom. One was over on Hades, the hell part in the center of the earth. And so what happened was when Jesus resurrected, he took all those in Abraham's bosom and he took paradise up into heaven. Now to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father in third heaven. But my point is we have an appointment. And the thing about it is when death finds you, whenever that was going to be, and nobody here can stand up and say, I know for a fact I'll be here next year. You'd be a fool to say that. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. How many of us have woke up one day, and I worked for a business, by the way, in EMS and fire. I worked for a business that I saw people on the worst day of their life. Most of them had woke up that morning thinking life was going to be like any other day. And before that day was out, something happened that devastated them, and it was the worst day of their life. They lost loved ones. They was in traumatic car accidents, or this happened or that happened. And sometimes it was just something simple, and bam, it changed the course of their life. My point is this. Jesus is trying to get you to hear what he's got to say. You got two appointments, death and judgment. And the resurrection that you will go in, those resurrected to life will go, and you that are saved will be stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of those things you've done since you've been saved. Those that are lost in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, tells you that you will stand before the great white throne judgment of God, and you will be brought out of hell, your soul will be. You'll be reunited with a body. You'll stand before God, and the books will be open, and God will tell you everything that you did and didn't do in your life, all the opportunities you had that you squashed, the times when he spoke to you and you didn't listen, and he'll also open the book of life. Your name will be blotted out of the book of life, and you'll be cast in lake of fire. In verse 14, it says, death and hell was cast in lake of fire. This is a second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in lake of fire. Amen. So I want you to understand that Jesus says, and he told the Pharisees, and they just wanted to kill him. They wanted to shut him up. They didn't want to listen to him. But Jesus said, you need to understand, I am the Son of God. I'm equal with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I am the God the Son. Not only that, but you got to understand that I have the ability, and God has given me the power, and I have the power within me to give life to those who are dead. Right. And not only that, and he proved that while he walked upon this earth, because what he did was he walked over. One time he went and he was going to a little city called Nain, seeing a widow coming crying, and they had her little son on their shoulders, bearing him in a funeral, and he walked up to the funeral, he stopped it. He said, son, sit up. And he stood up, and he sat up, and he got down, and he went home with his mom. You know why he's able to do that? He was God. He had the power to bring life out of death. When he walked over, he said, move the stone. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus come hopping after 4 days in grave clothes. You know why he was able to do that? He was the Son of God. And by the way, you're spiritually dead as well. And therefore, when you believe upon the Son of God and you believe upon his name, and God, the Holy Ghost of God is drawing you to come unto him, and you put your faith and trust in Christ and you believe upon him, he takes a dead spirit and he borns you again and makes you alive. He quickens you. You know how he's able to do that? He's a Son of God. Now, so note this real well, and remember this, that God, Jesus said there's two appointments, death and the resurrection. And so until you, when you die, immediately you'll go to one place, a waiting place, until the resurrection. And you'll be called at your resurrection. Now, when you study the book of Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says that there'll be a thousand-year period between the resurrection of life and the resurrection of death and damnation. Okay? Now, but let's look on. Look back in your Bibles. Notice in verse 24 and 25. The Bible says there's two types of hearing. Look in 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that what? hears my word and what? Believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. I tell you what, you better quit doing so much talking. You better start listening when it comes to the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You better listen to what God's got to say. I mean, he's the one going to judge you, and you better listen to what he has to say. I've had people say, well, preacher, I just don't want to hear that. You're a fool. Let me ask you this. If you was going off to, and there was a cliff and a 100-foot drop, and you was riding your bicycle off, wouldn't you want somebody to flag you down and say, hey, you get offended because they told you not to go because it's dangerous and you're going to fall off and kill yourself? Most of you say, well, I appreciate them doing that. That's exactly what preachers are. They say, hey, there is death and there is eternal judgment and you will die and go to hell unless you hear what God has to say. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't like Christians. Why? Because we believe in the book? Listen, I didn't write the book. And if God says something is sin, something abomination, God says it's wrong, whether I do it, whether I don't do it, it doesn't change it one bit. Whether I believe it or whether I don't believe it, it does not change it one bit. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe there's going to be a judgment. Oh, you will. But you better hear it now. Otherwise, you'll spend all eternity hearing over and over and over. You say, what will I do when I hear all those times somebody said, you know what the rich man that went to hell heard? He kept hearing the same things that he had. He kept remembering what opportunities he had. You know what they do in hell? They gnash on themselves. You know what gnashing? They bite themselves. You know why? They're miserable because of what they let go. And the fact that they didn't hear it and didn't listen. Look on. He says that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come in condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, shall not come in condemnation. Let me say this, and let me just say it, simple as I can. When you get promised, when Jesus promised you that if you will believe in your heart upon him, that thou shalt be saved, and you shall have what? By definition, eternal life doesn't mean 20 years until you mess up. Eternal life doesn't mean 100 years until you mess up. Eternal life doesn't mean go 200 years and then you lose it. Eternal life is there is nothing whatsoever can take you away from eternal life. Somebody said, well, I don't have assurance. There's a difference between assurance of salvation and eternal life. If you're saved, you got eternal life, whether you're assured of it or not. Some people just ain't assured of it. But it doesn't take away the fact that he says you shall not come in condemnation. Not that you might not or possibly won't, but you shall not. You know why? You have eternal life. That's why I've often said this, and I use this verse. When the Bible says when one sinner repenteth, there's a rejoicing in the presence of the angels. I said, you know why heavens rejoice when one on earth repents? They know that he has eternal life. He's going to make it up there. Otherwise, they'd wait till he died before they rejoiced. You know why they can rejoice the moment you get repents of his sins and turns in faith to Jesus Christ? You know why they can rejoice? Because another one's been added and they know he's coming home. Amen? But look here. The Bible says, look back in verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now as the dead shall hear the voice of God, and they that hear shall what? If you want to be saved, you've got to hear. Now listen to me very carefully. Please listen. To hear spiritually and be saved is to have the Spirit of God draw you. It comes and convicts you
of your sin. It lets the Word of God come and penetrate, and where it causes you to recognize you're a sinner. And it also brings about the fact and lifts up Jesus before you, where you understand He died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. And therefore, the same time that when you get to the point where you're willing to come unto Him, you come by repenting to God of your sins and recognizing you can't do it for yourself and looking to Jesus to be the one that saves you. That's why it says you got to believe on Him. You got to believe in Him. Some people say, I believe Jesus. That's not good enough. The Bible says even the devils believe in Jesus. They believe there's one God and they tremble. But what you have to do is this. You have to believe on His finished work. So first of all, there are those that hear and believe and are saved. Then those there that doesn't. Now listen to me a minute. I told you a few minutes ago, there was a time in Israel when they heard the word of God and responded. Then they got where they heard, but they didn't obey. Then they got where they were blinded to it. And most of Israel today is blinded to the word of God. You can preach Jesus to a Jew until you're blue in the face, and very few Jews will ever hear what you got to say. You know why? They're blinded. Now, are some of them saved? Yes. God's still saving some of them. But listen to me a minute. The same things happened in the Bible Belt. We used to have revivals and people would be saved, and we'd have people walking out all the time. But people's got where they don't hear the word of God. And you know what? I'm beginning to believe that God's got where He's just hiding it from people. They've got more cares. They don't want to hear. They don't want to believe. They've rejected Him. And by the way, we preached the other day, you can't come to God unless He draws you to come. You're whistling Dixie if you think you're just going to be saved on your own way, in your own times, your own terms. That's not the way God operates. Therefore, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. When you hear God knocking, you better come.
Amen.
You don't know that He'll knock again. Somebody said, well, I believe He'll knock till I die. You're a fool. I cannot tell you how many people I've stood beside their bedside, them dying, and they'll tell me, they said, preacher, I just don't hear His voice no more. I wouldn't want to trust my eternal soul to wait till the moment I got ready to die, because what if I went out another way anyway? But besides that, there's no guarantee that you're going to hear the voice of God when you die. Today, when you hear His voice, that's when you come. And last but not least, let me say this. There's two eternal states. There is when you die, and I'm convinced of this. Please listen. Everybody and their brother, when somebody dies, they've come to me. Some of them's come to me and had everything wrote down. They said, here, this is what I want you to say about my loved one. I read it. I thought, that's not the person I knew. I know in that casket. I said, if you want this said, you say it yourself. Just because somebody says everybody goes to heaven don't mean they go to heaven. There's only one way you go. And if you don't have Christ when you die in your heart, you've never been saved. You've never been born again. My friend, I don't care if it's my mom, my dad, my son, my daughter, my grandchildren. It doesn't matter. They'll die and go to hell. And I can say things, and I can use all every excuse in the world, and I can try to say anything I want to say, but it will not change their eternal state. Because once you die, if you don't have Christ, and He's not give you life, you'll have death. And when you're brought out of hell and stand before judgment, you'll have second death. Second death is eternal separation from God, never to have opportunity of life again. That's why it's so important to hear while you can hear, and to shut up
and quit doing so much talking and listen what God is saying. Because only God knows what lies beyond this life. He created us for it. He's prepared. The Bible says hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God created hell, by the way. He knows all about it. And so when Jesus tells us about it, we better listen. And when Jesus waves that flag and said, listen, many more people's going to go down there than go up here. You better listen. It's time to shut up a few minutes. And you better listen. Because it's only through the Word of God that we can have faith. And for by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. And let me just say this and we'll sing. I know most churches have quit preaching on hell. But that doesn't make it go away. It's just as real as it ever was. And if somebody loved you and loved you enough, they keep preaching to you. Because somebody needs to wave that flag and say, you better listen. The cliff is there and you're fixing to go over it. You better save yourself before you go over that. And there's only one source of salvation, that's Christ. Amen. Let's sing, Brother Peter.
Page 191. 191.
Maybe you're here this morning and you need to be saved. God's dealing with your heart. You need to come. Would you come? How about it? Not a more important decision you can make in all your life. You said, Brother Billy, I'm doing the best I can. That's not good enough. You'll never do good enough. You'll never work. God's dealing with your heart. You ought to come. Would you come? How about it? We sing, Brother Porter.